Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with special guest Estelatus Mtema from Tanzania. He's been with us over the last few days sharing his amazing story with us. Estelatus is a lay leader, a significant lay leader in the country. He's been national leader for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in Tanzania, and he's worked very closely with all the bishops in the country and provided lots of leadership and leadership formation. And in our work over the last decade or two in Tanzania and other parts of Africa, he had the privilege and joy of meeting Estelatus, and I was deeply impressed with his leadership ability, his knowledge of the church's teaching and the Word of God, and his power and capacity to preach it. Very special gift in many ways. And so he's visiting the United States, and I asked him if he could come and join us to share his story. If you haven't had a chance to hear his story, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. We began on Wednesday with his story, so Wednesday, Thursday programs are right there. You can listen to them right on the computer or download them, put on whatever device you listen to, be able to listen to it at your leisure. So welcome back, Estelatus.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
So we ended yesterday. You were really growing. You began to read the Word of God in prison while you were there, and your heart began to change. Lord called you to preach, and you started, lives were changing all around you. Yeah. What happened next?
Next was that the Amnesty International went to the president and asked him that so many people were in prison, and they were not trying to take hold. So the president instructed the police department to make sure every one of us has their record of his faults and sent to the court.
Oh, I see. So you were in that detention place.
Yeah.
And the president said, okay, I want to keep track of all those who are in detention. Yeah. I want to know exactly what they did. And they present you that charge against you.
The charges, so that we should be sent to the court.
Oh, to go to the court.
To the court.
Okay,
yes,
to be heard.
Yeah.
Because you were actually in prison and detention, but you never had a day in court.
Never.
Okay, so now you're, how many years would that have been?
Oh, 6 years.
6 years?
6 years.
Okay, you were 6 years in prison.
6 years in prison.
And now for the first time you're going to stand before a judge.
To a judge, yes.
Okay.
And so the police sent my charges, everybody who was in the prison. It seems I was the one who was the dirtiest, the cruelest person in the prison. I had 14 cases, and out of them, there were 7 they wrote as murder cases. And that one day, there was a police came to our camp. It was a secret. When they call you, they call alone. They tell
you. Oh, I see. You didn't know when they were going to come. They charged you with the 14 cases. And 7 of them,
they were murder cases.
Okay.
Yeah.
They threw those out? They threw out 7 cases?
No. That I was still in prison now.
Oh, okay.
In prison.
Yeah.
So one soldier came to where we are staying in prison. And he told the people, this guy has got so many cases. So the whole prison, we are alarmed by my report.
Oh, by the charges, how many charges there were.
They told me, you will die in the prison here. You will never go out. Ever. You are preaching. You are wrong person. You are dead. Yes. So it was chaos. But one day, the chief came and with a list of the people who wanted to be taken away of the prison. And my name was there. But when they called us, I didn't come because I knew I'd be staying all over my life in prison. So I sent my Bible to my Bible. I went to one of the trees. But one boy came, you have been released, go. But it was normal. When the chief comes, someone says, oh, you are released, just to joke at you.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the guy who actually came to give the list of names of those who were going to be released?
Released, yes.
You thought it was a joke?
Yeah.
Because you guys used to play that joke on each other all the time, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a joke because also I believed I'm not going to.
Right. You had way too many charges.
Charges, yeah.
Okay.
So I went there. And the chief came and said, your name is Mtema? I said, yes. Do you want to stay in prison? Come, follow me. Then I was released. I left my clothes to my inmates, my friends. We were praying together, the books, whatever, I handed over. And then I went to the police station. They sent me to Dar es Salaam. And then I stood before the chief. I kept one thing. When we were preaching in the prison, when we were preaching there, the Muslims and other people gave accusation to the chief warden. and they restricted anybody to preaching in the prison. But when I slept, the Lord told me preach.
So they were the Muslims complained, and the warden said no more preaching.
No preaching in the prison.
So you're sleeping, and the Lord told you something different.
Okay. To preach. So I come and preach. The warden come and take me to cell, to the imprisonment inside the prison. That is a
solitary confinement.
That's right. It happened three times. The first time they kept me in the solitary confinement, and come back again. Okay, my friend said, no, you will die now. You are so sin. You don't have blood. So I slept in the night. The Lord will preach. I stand there and preach again. And then you send me to cell three times. The fourth one, the chief came and looked at me. He said, no, this man is crazy. Let him stay. Let him preach.
Yeah, so because you had been in solitary confinement.
Yeah.
You didn't have food.
No food.
And
a piece of thrice.
Yeah. And you lost so much weight. And you looked very sickly.
Yeah.
And you kept preaching anyway. So the warden said, he's a crazy man. Just leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
Okay.
So I was allowed to preach. I was preaching alone every day. I would preach the gospel every day. Yeah. Until that day, they came to call us to the police station. So I was very thin. When this committee of command of police, they called me, they looked at me. They saw I was so sick. They said, this man, when we send him to the court, he will die before he's being... It's very thin. So they asked me, do you have any relative so we can release you? I said, I've got a brother. So my brother came and he took me. They just told him, I have to go to report every Saturday to the police station. And they told my brother, if we hear anything in town, there is a robbery, we will come straight to your home. And if you don't find this guy, you together with your brother, all of you, you go
to jail.
To jail.
Yeah, okay.
So that's how.
So he's holding your brother accountable to hold you accountable.
Yes. So that's how I came out. And I stayed there because I was very thin. My brother did not want me to go to my village while I was so thin.
So you're so thin, he didn't want your family and friends to see you.
Yeah. They wanted me to stay a bit, eat a bit so that I can get fat enough to go. My father was furious. Bring my son! Bring my son home! Why are you holding? Is this your son? So my brother has to send me back to our village. So I went to the village. Again, the police gave me a letter. I have to report. Before you go home, you report this to the police station. So I went to the police station when I get to my village. And they said, you come to report here every Monday. So my brother gave me a tractor and a pickup. I started farming 20 kilometers from town. We had a big farm.
Your family had a farm?
Farm, yeah.
And you started working on that
acres,
farm?
500 acres.
500 acres,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I started farming there. After 1 year, one day, night, the Lord told me, I did not send you here for farming. Preach my word. So I started collecting door by door. I went in the morning to tell the people, we're going to have mass on Sunday. So on Sunday, we have to be the church. All the people came, and we started building a hut with the woods, a church there, and grass outside.
So on your farmland, you started to build a hut.
Yes.
And there weren't regular masses. There weren't priests coming.
Yeah.
So you had like a Sunday service?
Sunday service, yes.
Okay.
I was there.
Without communion.
I become a parish priest.
Yeah.
So leading a mass, so many people are coming. And after preaching, you pray for the sick, for demons who are rolling. Even the Pentecostal people came, everybody came. So within a few months, we have at least 250 members coming there. It was head to the parish. Then I went to the parish to tell him that we are about 250 people. We need you to come. He said, okay. But when I get out, somebody went to the parish. Do you know that man? Said, no, I don't know. He's a good man. So no, he's a robber. He started telling him about my past.
About your past, yeah.
Oh, the parish priest was so alarmed. When I went there next time, he didn't allow me to talk with him. He said, go to the catechist. But that ended like that. So every Sunday, even if I'm coming in town, on Sunday I have to go to 20 kilometers to lead the mass and prayers and don't come back in town. So that went in 1987. A friend of mine introduced me to the charismatic renewal. I saw the priest there. And the Catholics are also reading the Bible. I said, yes, we are Catholics. We were praising God together. So from that day to that, I'm a Catholic member. Then I introduced a parish, a priest who was in the charismatic. I sent him to the place where I was leading Mass every Sunday. He was a Mass. So you are doing good job. I said, I report to the punishment, but he didn't have any help to come. So the priest, Franciscan priest, went to the parish to ask permission to lead mass to my place. So he came.
So the missionary, the Franciscan missionary, yeah, came out, and he would come every Sunday or?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday every he would Sunday come.
Okay, come
to, yeah,
mass.
Very good.
And that when I, after that, I came to the slum, my brother, he bought a vessel for fishing. So I came and left him. But the place now is a parish. There is a church built there. The Franciscan people, the big small church, they were coming to attend it. And now it is a parish. Some Indian priests are there. Then I came to Dar es Salaam.
Oh, that's amazing. So you got, the way you got out of prison was so amazing. I mean, yeah, if you wouldn't have been in solitary confinement, but, you know, and have undergone so much trauma while you were there,
yeah,
you were put in solitary confinement because you were preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And then they felt bad for you at a certain point, so yeah, they said, let's just let him go.
Let him go.
Because he doesn't look healthy enough, yeah, anyway.
He will die soon.
Right.
I was rotten.
Yeah.
Completely rotten.
Yeah. Then you get back home to your father's land, and you start farming it, and farming. The Lord speaks to you to say, you're sowing the seed in the ground here, but I want you to sow my word,
my word
into people, and you obeyed him, and you went out and just went door to door, started talking to people, and then you get a small little number of people start growing and growing, and... And then the priest is afraid because someone says, ooh, he was a bad guy, a robber.
Yeah.
You can't trust him.
Yeah.
You know. So then that was difficult. But then the Lord sent you a Franciscan.
Franciscan, yes.
Yeah. So he comes to this congregation. Now it's a full-grown parish with a parish. Big church and
big
everything
church.
There. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. From there, I came to Islam. I joined the prayer group at Msimbazi Parish. Later on, I became a coordinator of the parish. In 1995, they elected me to be assistant coordinator of the diocese, and then 1987 I became a diocesan coordinator. Again, they elected me to be a national leader. 2007.
Congratulations! Yes. What a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners just real quickly: you're married, and how many children do you have?
Married with 4 children. One went to the Lord.
Oh,
it was an IMP. That it was a good girl, very courageous. It was an evangelist, but it was also a politician.
Oh, she was a politician. She was in parliament in the country.
In parliament,
Wonderful.
And, yeah. Now I've got 3 of them. 2 boys and 1 girl.
Okay.
Yeah. They were twins.
Oh,
they
twins. Les Lattice, it's been wonderful having you on the program this week. Thank you so much for being here. And friends, I wish you could meet Les Lattice or see him in Tanzania. The amazing work that he's doing
Welcome
there.
Tanzania.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, there are so many wonderful brothers and sisters there who Estelanis has raised up and discipled and who are working very hard at spreading the gospel. And I was just tremendously impressed with their generosity, their faith, their courage, their love for God, and how much you do on so little, you know. And God provides, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really does provide. So God bless you, brother. Thanks for being with us. And friends, I just want to remind you, at the end of the program, the booklet we're giving out these days is Ralph Martin's book, What Happens When I Die, which is such an important question for us to be able to answer, because the scripture is very clear. Life is short. It's a breath. It's a passing shadow. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. And that book, I think, can be a source of tremendous consolation for all of you. So the 800 number will be given there. You could call. We'll send it to you for free. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.